Aloha. Welcome to KKCR's Talk Story, a series dedicated to highlighting Hawaiian musicians as they share stories and songs. Talk Story, or Vala'au in Hawaiian, is roughly translated as reminiscing and communicating. Slack Key lady Cindy Combs had her first slack key lessons with Keola Beamer, an opportunity that helped shape her musical style. Her use of the fairly rare G6 tuning inspired George Winston and produced an album with Dancing Cat Records entitled Slack Key Lady. Her songwriting has also been recognized on Jerry Santos's Nahoku Hanohano award-winning solo album Expecting Friends, when his rendition of Cindy's song I Love Kauai was nominated for Song of the Year. In this Talk Story session, Cindy shares her unique sound and eclectic blend of original songs, many of which have not yet been released. Join me, Jessica Dofflemeyer, in this Talk Story with Cindy Combs. Cindy, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. Mahalo, Jessica.
Let's just maybe start at the beginning. What brought you to Kauai? When did you get to these islands?
Well, I arrived in the islands in 1963 with my family. We arrived aboard a ship, and we had been on a year-long journey that started where I was born in San Diego, California, and we traveled to the Canary Islands with the intention of staying there, living there, putting down roots. And we stayed for about 7 months. And then my family decided it was time to get back to the USA. But instead of backtracking, we just kept going and headed for Hawaii, where my mom and dad and my sister had lived before I was born. So we arrived in Honolulu, and I started school at the Royal School. And that's where I was just thrilled when they passed out ukuleles and started teaching us Hawaiian music. And that was in the fifth grade. And I continued being raised there on Oahu. And then when I was 18, upon graduating from high school, myself and three other young ladies flew to Kauai, and we went and camped out at Kalihiwai. One of the gals was a niece of a family at Kalihiwai. And, oh, I was just thrilled. It was just wonderful. You know, you can imagine. So that started my never-ending romance with Kauai. But it wasn't till a few years later that I actually moved over here and lived in the mid-70s. I lived at Kipu Ranch. And that's actually when I wrote my first Hawaiian song about Kipu. And I really didn't put down roots here permanently till 1987. So I've been here permanently since 87.
In the 70s, what was going on? I know there was a big resurgence of Hawaiian culture, music, because when you mentioned them passing out ukuleles at your school when you were in the fifth grade, that was the 60s?
That was 63. When you talk about the Renaissance, it's like the Hawaiian music was there, but not that strong. You know, you would learn songs as a child in school for May Day, but it wasn't really a year-long thing. And then the recording industry at that time seemed to be more of, for lack of a better term, more like the old school, you know, which I just love. And you could hear that on the radio. We had our beloved KCCN radio. But then up around the time, 69, 70, I believe, is when a record came out by Gabby Pahinui and the Sons of Hawaii. And that was old school, but with the acoustic folk instruments being used, which really turned on young people to that sound. And so the resurgence was that the younger folks started learning the Hawaiian music, and they would learn the old stuff, but then that's also the time when rock and roll and folk music and all that, so that influenced it too, to where people started creating new, what they call today contemporary Hawaiian music. And it caught on like wildfire. And it was just a wonderful thing. Myself, I was lucky to read an ad in the paper. This was 1971, the year I graduated from high school. And the ad said, slack key guitar lessons. And I was like, boing, doing a double take. And then it said, Keola Beamer. And I was like running to the phone with the phone number. I couldn't believe it, you know, that such a thing would be in the newspaper, because everybody knew it was a secret art that you could only learn, you know, from your family or this or that. I'd heard the stories. So I was just like so heartened and thrilled. And so it was a 6-week course, and I took those lessons. So Keola has definitely had a huge influence on my playing. But then that was the same year, I believe, that I met a young man named Jerry Santos. And he really had a huge influence on me. We became good friends. And I always respected his knowledge of Hawaiian music and the beauty of the songs that he was writing, being inspired, you know, by the old and the new and putting them together. Plus, he had kind of, you know, blondish hair and blue eyes and was singing Hawaiian, so that was encouraging too. And plus, he was a camp school grad, you know, so bona fide.
So were you were playing music together and just going on learning more about Hawaiian music?
Yeah. He was playing at Chuck's Steakhouse in Hawaii Kai, and I lived in Hawaii Kai. So I thought, well, gee, you know, maybe I could do that. So I auditioned and I got the gig. So that was my first gig. And of course, I would go in on his night, you know, and sit in with him. And
Was he with Olamana at the time?
No. That came later. But we just had a tremendous amount of fun playing any kind of music, you know, rock and roll and this and that, but also Hawaiian music. And that's really when it started. You know, I was learning slack key and learning Hawaiian songs, and so that's when it started coming into my repertoire. But it wasn't until about 5 years later that I actually tried my hand at writing Hawaiian songs.
Did you have guidance with that? If it wasn't your first language or first culture, how did you approach that process?
I listened to KCCN radio a lot, and would read the wonderful liner notes that people would include in their records, you know, like Sunday Manoa, and have translations and read that a lot. I took a Hawaiian language course at Leeward Community College. And so I took the language and I wrote my first Hawaiian song about Kipu after I'd moved to Kauai. And I did. I took it to Winona. I made an appointment to go see Nona Beamer up at camp school and showed her the song. And she said, oh, my kai. No. And what she did tell me that I still don't really do is, you know, wahines, they should change keys when they play. They don't change keys a lot. And I was like, yes, ma'am, you know, well, I try. But I did ask her, you know, for her opinion on my Hawaiian words, and I did pretty good. So that was encouraging. So I kept going.
Would you like to share a song?
Sure. This is a Hawaiian song that I've written that it has not been released on any records. But this is in the traditional Hawaiian music style. And it's called Kawaii Ikamalie, which is a saying of Kawaii in the calm. And I imagine it being like if you're out on the ocean looking at the island on a day like today, you'll just see her floating there like a dream in the calm. Hano hano kawaii kamalie, Hawaii kaulana. Kaulana, owe, ale, ale. Hano, hano. Kawaii, kamali. Hawaii kaulana, kaulana o wai ale ale. Kila ki. Kanani o kawaiki ni, kani o hemolele, hemolele ike kaapeha. Kihana o kawaii, kupa oa me ke ala, ke ala launa o ulei. Yamai ala kapua, hano hano kauai, kauai kamai. Haina, yawai ana kapuana, hano hano kauai. Kawaii kamalie.
Just beautiful.
Thank you.
Besides your work with Keola, did you take guitar lessons?
I had a few classical guitar lessons, but I didn't stick with that very long, I'm afraid. I couldn't sit properly and hold my hands properly and grow fingernails and all this, the accoutrements of classical guitar playing. But
were you just
I listened to records and I get the music books with the little chord diagrams, And then I'd make up my own picking pattern. Although I did take one lesson, this guy taught me the Travis picking. It's kind of tricky. That type of thing, the folk music accompaniment. But finger picking has always been my thing. So, you know, slack key is a lot of finger style guitar. And then the six lessons with Keola, and that was pretty much it. And just jamming, listening to records, listening to the radio, trying to play stuff, you know, throwing it all together in that poi music.
It's an amazing blend, just beautiful stuff.
Thank you. That's Pakala.
Wow. How much time do you put into your playing? That doesn't come easily. I mean, do you practice regularly? How do you get to that level of expertise and mastery?
There have been hours and hours and hours of practicing involved. At this point, there's years and years and years of stuff I've already gone through behind me, so I feel like I don't have to practice as hard, or I'm just not as driven by it. But you do have to put in the hours early on. You know, I would have a guitar, be able to reach for one 24/7. When I was home, it would be right there. I'd get one that you can, you know, take to the beach. You know, get somebody else to drive and play while you're in the car. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do, because I was like, I want to get this just right, you know.
So, yeah, you're known as the Slack Key Lady. Where did that originate from?
That was the name we made up for my Dancing Cat release. A slack key, that's what the music is, and it's a lady.
That's
hey,
right. Yeah.
Slack Key Lady. Plus, my handle on the radio had been the Ukulele Lady. So I just went from one lady to another. So at least I was being called a lady.
How did you actually connect with George Winston?
Oh, that is actually a very funny story. I was on a remote broadcast at that time. I was a DJ at KUAI Radio. And we were doing a remote at the Hanapepe Cafe, which is where I happen to play music, but we were also doing a thing over there. So anyway, I was taking a little break, and I was standing on the street, and it was a weekend, so Hanapepe is really slow. So I see these people walking down the street quite a ways away, coming towards me. And it was like, I don't know, I hear that, you know, do-do-do, you know, that music. It was like, we're going to have a shootout or something. And they're walking and they're walking. And then I thought, oh, that's Wayne Jacinto. I knew this one guy. And I couldn't figure out who these people were that were with him. And so they come right up to me. Oh, we're looking for you. Are you Cindy Combs? They were laughing because Wayne, of course, knew that was me. And I guess somebody had told them where to find me. And he goes, oh, this is George Winston and Howard Johnston. And I was like, wow, you know, no kidding. And he goes, well, we're, you know, looking for slack key artists. Do you have any demo tapes? I said, yeah, they're at my house. Wayne knows where my house is. So I was left at work while they tootled off to go collect my demo tapes. So he took them and listened to them and said they wanted to record with me. So I started working with Dancing Cat Records in 1995, I think it was, when I first started to lay down the tracks. They came over and set up shop at the Waimea Foreign Church over in Waimea. It was fairly quiet there. And all of their style, they just, you go and record for a few hours and then it's like next person. But it was wonderful, so wonderful to have that validation, you know, that encouragement of, yes, we think you're pretty good. So much so that, you know, we're going to record your work. I really need to seriously retune. But there's a little story about this tuning, actually. George Winston says I invented this tuning. I have a hard time believing that, but it's George, and he's paid attention to these things. So for you guitar aficionados, it's some Keola C tuning, which is C, G, D, G, B, E. This one is C, G, D, F, B, E. Got it? That sounds pretty good. So George goes, you've invented this tuning. What are we going to call it? You know, I was like, oh, geez, I got to call it something. He goes, how about Cindy's C? And I'm thinking, oh, Cindy's C. So I said, call it the Puolo Point tuning, because the one song I can play that I made up in this tuning is called Puolo Point, which is by where I live. So that's what I call it, the Puolo Point tuning. And it's funny, when I go down there, it's a real wild place. This whole area of just tide pools and coastline that is windblown and wild. And so that's what this song is for, that place. Puolo Point.
We will return to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story with Cindy Combs after your station's identification. Could you share a little bit of background about your song, I Love Kauai?
Let's see, it was in the 70s, back in the 70s. I was living on Kauai. A lot of things were going on at that time that culminated in my leaving the island, and I went back to Oahu. Shortly after I had moved back, I came back to Kauai for a visit, and while I was here, I wrote this song called I Love Kauai. And at the end of the song, it said, "She will call me home again someday." So I had not left with the intention of never returning. It was just things were too jumbled up then. I had to get back on my feet. And so then when I returned for the visit, I wrote that song, and it came true about 10 years later. The wonderful thing about the song was that Jerry learned it, and he recorded it on his wonderful Naohoku Hanohano award-winning record called Expecting Friends. I think it was the first record he did after Robert Beaumont passed away and Olamana was in flux there. And it was nominated for the Song of the Year Award. I was just thrilled. Now, Kauai's own Norman Ka'ava Solomon has recorded the song. And so it's just such a great validation. It's still going after all these years. And I changed the last line, although I don't think Jerry or Norman did, because they're still doing it the way it was originally written. But it said, "She will call me home again one day." So now I say, "I'm glad to be right here today." My home sweet home, Kauai. You want to hear a little bit?
I would love it.
Sure. Sounds of laughter, joy is here, following after a long trail of tears. I may come and I may go, I just want you all to know. Misty rainbows in her hair. I love Kauai. She sings me songs of love to play. I love Kauai. Poina ole kupua moki hale, ivili ia me ka mai le. I love Kauai. Why ole ale proudly stand?
I get teary. It's just, it's such a sweet, beautiful place. Love that song.
Yeah.
It's like a theme song for Kauaians, really.
Yeah, and it has that what went on before and what's going on now, and it's all tied together for me, you know, in the song.
So as you mentioned, Jerry Santos recorded I Love Kauai on a solo album after Robert Beaumont passed away. Weren't you involved with originally introducing Jerry and Robert?
Jerry and I were friends from, I guess, 1971 is when we became acquainted. Let's see, I guess it was 72, 73. Somewhere in there, I became acquainted with this great duo. I love their music. They were playing at this place called the Marco Polo, close to Waikiki. The duo of Robert and Max. It was this guy, Robert Beaumont, and this other guy, Max Comine. And so I was at the gig one night, and Robert said, "You know what, Cindy, I know you know Jerry. I would really, really like to meet Jerry." And I'm like, "Ah, shoot, no problem." So I took Jerry over to the gig one night, and he met Robert, and the rest is all amount of history. Wow. So what happened is, Jerry and Robert teamed up and formed the group Olomana. I think Robert had some definite ideas about what he wanted to do. And it was great because Jerry is so talented, you know, such a beautiful voice. And Robert was not a bad guitar player and, you know, pretty good singer too. But the combination of the two plus Robert's drive made for a great combination. But as a result, there was Max Comine there with no partner anymore. So Max and I teamed up, and we had quite a little duo going on. We were a working duo for a while there. Cindy and Max. Robert and Max turned into Cindy and Max.
That's great.
Oh, that's really way back in the day, boy.
What do you see happening with Hawaiian music in the future? Do you see a direction that it's going, or something that's inspiring or exciting to you?
Yeah, I think it's just the continuation of this blending of styles and, you know, hang on to the old, but don't be afraid to innovate. And for the listener out there, you know, keep an open mind. Some people, I know what I like, and I like the old style. But, you know, if somebody doesn't always stick to the old style, try out the new and see if you like it or not. Otherwise, it's just going to get stuck. No, stuck isn't the right word. If you're going to get stuck somewhere, old Hawaiian music is a good place to be. The future of Hawaiian music, I think we'll have to know our boundaries and don't be afraid to cross them, but don't let them get so mixed up that it's lost, the old style. It may be just by time and other things, but that's why we have the recordings to refer back to and learn from. So the future is definitely more recording.
Mm-hmm. Do you have another song?
Sure. I'll try this one. This is another one I didn't start out with the intention of creating a tune that is called what it is or is for who it's for. It's just after creating it, it just seemed like that's why it came through. So I call this Mauna Loa Lei. And it's, when I play it, I think of Nona. So it's for her. Thank you.
Mauna Loa.
Beautiful.
It's evolving.
I have to ask you about playing with Ray Kane.
Well, I was on Oahu for a visit, and they had this big concert out at Kualoa. Kualoa on Oahu. Big Hawaiian concert. And Ray Kane was there, Raymond Kane. I just thought, I'm going to talk to him and invite him to come to Kauai. At that time, I was playing at the Koke Lodge. What a sweet gig that was. So I talked to him, Ray, how would you like to come to Kauai? You know, you can play at the Koke Lodge and we'll pay your way and you can stay at my cabin. And of course, then his ears really perked up. So anyway, he did. He came over and he did a couple of nights at the lodge. And so to promote it, I said, you know, we should take a quick trip down the hill and go over to KUAI and I bet they'll let us play live on the radio. So he's like, okay. And so we had never played together before and I'm like, can I play with you? And he goes, well, you know, so we're sitting there at the table up in the cabin in Koke and he gets his tuning going on. I got mine. Usually I'd play a different tuning with the capo on. So we had two different tunings going on. Well, what I'm trying to impart is the very first time we played. So he starts playing and I start playing with him and we played the song. I can't remember exactly what song it was. But we finished playing the song and he goes, well, Cindy, yeah, this is going to be a pretty darn good radio show.
That's great.
And I was like, okay, I pass. You know? And we went down and we played on the radio and then back up the hill and did the gig that night. And oh, it was just exciting.
How fun.
Yeah, he's a rascal, that guy.
Do you want to share another song?
Sure. There's this kind of a funny song. I wrote the music to this song. The words are from a poem that was written in English by my friend Patty, and it was translated into the Hawaiian language by a very well-respected woman from Niihau, who prefers to remain anonymous, I think, this funny song. It's a little kolohe. But Patty wrote this song about her outdoor shower. You know, that's a popular feature here in Hawaii, to have an outdoor shower at your house. So when you go to the beach, you can get rinsed off and you don't track sand into the house. So this song is called Au Au Pu. And Au Au is one word. It means to bathe or to swim. In this case, it's bathing in the shower. Au Au Pu means together. So this is about showering together. And there is an instrumental version of this song on my CD, Land of the Endless Summer. But now for you exclusively at KKCR. We'll sing the words. A'opu. Kava e au liki ai kaua hole ale a kawa malalo ana hoku me kala I loko ke apana me kawa hi a pau kava e au liki ai kaua hole ale a kawa malalo ana hoku me kala I loko ke apana me kawa hi a pau. Words say when we shower together, we play and have fun under the sun of the stars, in Keapana or any place. Pākika e nā pōhaku e pāpō no mā ole kaua pā mai kāha ule ole anaku kawa e au au like ai kaua. Ooh, rocks are slippery. We better hold each other tight so we don't fall down. That's what you gotta do when you poo.
Honey make a apple, we call make a hay. Hey, I'll make a ho, ipo, and a poo.
Our bodies are covered with soap. Fragrant kisses and caresses in the streaming water. Ooh, this is fun.
Ha ina iya way, ana kapu ana la kawa ya uli ke aika wanui ko kawa hau uli ana. Ha ina iya may ana kapu ana la kawa ya uli ke aika wanui ko kawa hau uli ana.
Of the shower song. And needless to say, when we shower together, we have a lot of good, clean, good, clean fun. Save water. Shower with a friend.
I love it. That's great.
Oh, poo. That's what you gotta do when you poo. Yeah. They had this. I was living on Oahu at the time, and then I heard about this concert they were having at Salt Pond. And I came over to play, and that's when I first bust that song out, you know. And everybody was, like, listening very intently. This was before I managed to get the translation in there. And I saw one old Hawaiian man stand, and he was just cracking up over there listening to the song. I thought, he understands what I'm saying.
Some of your music has some jazz to it. Were you influenced by that as you were studying guitar?
That was in my musical mind, listening to those Johnny Mathis records, you know, growing up, or the big band sound. But I was playing the folk guitar and singing the folk music. And then one day I discovered the major seventh chord. And that was like, wow. So I wrote a whole song with the major seventh chord. And then it started sneaking into my slack key. I started to figure out, like, how to get those jazzy chords in there.
Your song Moonlight comes to mind. Is there a story with that song?
That was inspired. One night after the gig at the Hanapipi Cafe, John Emery had been sitting in at the gig, and so myself and John and his girlfriend and one of his friends, we got in Johnny's truck and went up the Hanapipi Valley to the crossing. This place is gone now. A storm came and washed the crossing away, but it was this place where there was a concrete segment right down in the water where you could drive across the river, you know, as long as the water was low and not real rough. And you could actually park right in the middle of the river and you were in the river. That's why a lot of people used to call it car wash, because they'd stop and throw the water on their car, wash their car, and then drive off to the other side. And so we went up there and just parked in the middle of the river, and there was a full moon, and the river was real calm. You could see the reflection of the moon and even the starlight in the water. And we were all in very happy spirits and had lawn chairs in the back of the pickup truck sitting there styling in the Hanapipi River. And I thought, oh, gee, I got to write a song about this. So I think the next day, the muse was there going, hello. And it just came right out.
on the river. Moonlight down on the river. Moonlight tonight on the river. Moonlight tonight down on the river. You and I by the river. You and I down by the river, yeah. In the moonlight tonight by the river. Moonlight big and bright down by the river, the Honopee River. Mahina, ma la ma la ma, kamahina. Oh my love, love, pili mai, akapuva, kahu, akapuva, hoku, ai, ah. Pili mai, akapuva, kahu, akapuva, hoku, ai, ah. Kama lama lama, o kama hila, ke alohilo hi o ke kawai. Honi mai, ke kuhu, pala mama, no vai o una mai, ke alawai. Hina, oh my lava lava, pili mai akapuvai, kahu akaoka hoku ai a.
KKCR would like to thank Cindy Combs for sharing with us in this edition of Talk Story. Production, editing, and interview were done by Jessica Dofflemeyer. Engineering and mixing were done by Dean Rogers. Talk Story was recorded in the studios of Kauai Community Radio and is the fourth in a series produced by KKCR. For more information about this program and Kauai Community Radio, you can visit www.kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774. Funding is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcast. A hui ho, until we meet again.